the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord.
Yes,
in Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Father, we just thank you, my Father, for this precious opportunity that you would summon all of us, Lord, us on this radio broadcast that's listening to this ministry and this hour, that you would summon all of us through the gates of thanksgiving, through the course of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil into your literal presence, my Father. Hallelujah. For you have made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can come, not just come, but come boldly to the throne of your grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us every time we need it. What an honor, what a privilege, Father, that you have pointed unto us, every last one of us under the sound of my voice, the golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that no matter what state we might be in, if you have received Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart, and you have been born again, that you can come all the way and right there where the Father is, at his seat, the seat of authority, the throne of his grace, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, what an awesome privilege that is. What an awesome honor that is. And listen, God has pointed unto every last one of you that golden scepter of righteousness, saying that you can come on through religion, you can come on through your church service, come on through, man, all our services to him and everything else, and come boldly into his presence. Hallelujah. And listen, not just visit there, but come there and dwell there. David said it in Psalm 91, very familiar scripture. They who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under that protection, under that covering. Can you imagine, man, being covered by God? Thank God for our pastoral coverings and everything else that we have, and those who God have given charge over our lives and everything else. But boy, I'm talking about, boy, the covering of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Declared holy and covered in his love. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 says, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Good God Almighty. Say that again, Brother Arthur. In fact, let me read that to you in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, accordingly as he has chosen us in him. In who? In Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the world. What he chose? That we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine that, man? Not just visiting, man, the presence of the Lord, you know, and emotionally feeling that, man, you know, but I'm talking about living there, dwelling there, 24/7, all the days of your life. But that's what the golden scepter of righteousness signifies, that you can not only come to his throne of grace, but you can dwell there and obtain mercy in our times of need. Grace and mercy. Hallelujah. So, man, you know, I say it again. Father, we thank you for the precious opportunity that you have extended toward every last one of us, that we can come and dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Where we are covered, Lord, by your love, my Father God. In any area, in every area of our life that we might need covering in, my Father God. That you are our source and our sustainer. You are the source of our life. And not only are you the source of our life, but you are the sustainer of our lives, my Father God. And what an awesome privilege it is, Lord, to come to the knowledge of death. Not just the sense knowledge of death, but the revelation knowledge of death. For what purpose, Father? So that we can know that no matter where we are in life, no matter what we face in life, we can know that we 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 know, that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that everything is all right. Why? Because our life is hidden in him. Our life is hidden in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. And if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then let me tell you something. He who begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete it. In fact, he's already completed. And all we're doing is becoming it. We ain't becoming it like we got to get it. We're becoming it because we already have it. I'm going to say that again. When I say we are becoming who we are, I ain't talking about trying to get it. I ain't talking about becoming trying to get it. I'm talking about becoming it because we already have it. I'm going to say that one more time. When I say we are becoming who we are, you've heard me say this many times on this broadcast, we are just becoming who we already are. And it's becoming that we are becoming, that ain't like we're trying to get it. We're becoming it because we already have it. And we're growing in the knowledge of that, you know, what God has already done. He's already redeemed our life from destruction. He's already healed us of all our sickness and disease. He's already been delivered us from everything that we need deliverance from. He's already provided for us everything that we need provision from. It's already done. And though I come to the knowledge of that, since it's already done, I don't make that my petition when I go to God in prayer, asking him to do things for me. I make that boy pray out thanksgiving. When I go to him, I thank him that I'm saved. I thank him that I'm healed. I thank him that I'm delivered. I thank him that I'm provided for. And then I leave out a prayer decreeing and declaring that to every circumstance, situation, and symptom that might confront my life. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's how God designed for us to live. Decreeing and declaring. He said, you shall decree a thing and it shall be done. What you decreeing? I'm decreeing God's exceeding great and precious promises, not over my life and my family life, but over your life and your family lives too. I'm decreeing and declaring what God say about our circumstance, situation, and something. And guess what's taking place as I do that? Huh? I ain't going to get weary, man, if I don't see instant results, because I know something. What? In due season, I'm going to reap. Why? Because I ain't going to faint. I ain't going to cave in. I ain't going to give up. I ain't going to quit. Hey, listen, I'm facing a few little physical challenges in my body right now. Well, you know, I've been under a couple of surgeries on my spinal cord. And I really can't, you know, use my extremities and my body the way, you know, I would love to do it. But let me tell you something, man, I'm not moved by that. Hey, listen, I ain't trying to get healed. I'm already healed. Hallelujah. And what you're doing, I'm just becoming what I already am. At one point, man, I couldn't even walk at one time. I was in a wheelchair. Then I went from a wheelchair, man, to a walker. And then from a walker to a cane. And boy, let me tell you something, in these days right now, man, I can even walk, man, without the cane, you know, for a season, for a period of time. And guess what's happening? I'm becoming what I already am, healed. And on the way of becoming that, boy, I'm giving God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I'm maintaining my confession of faith. Why? Because I know it got a great recompense of reward. And as I continue to plant those seeds and speak those things over my life, then I'm just, like I said, I'm just becoming what I already am. You know, I still got a little limp right now in my walk right now, but let me tell you something. Don't let that limp fool you, baby. Lord. Say again, brother. Don't let that limp fool you. Hallelujah. Don't let that little pain in your body, man, and everything else, man, fool you. Let me tell you something. You just keep on, man, speaking, man, God healing over your life. You just keep on speaking God's salvation over your life and every area of your life that you need salvation in. You just keep on speaking, man, that you're already delivered, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Just keep on decreeing and declaring, man, that your God and our God supply all of our needs, not according to our bank account or the economy or nothing else like that, according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And boy, you make that a way of life. And in making that a way of life, then you just bringing glory to God. How often, you know, by continuing to plant those seeds of life into our lives, the God kind of life, continuing to water that seed, how? By continuing to decreeing and declaring it, continuing to meditate in it day and night, continue observing how to walk according to that which you say and that God has already said about you, and in due season, hallelujah, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. So you begin to call those things that are not as though they were. You don't call the things that are as though they not. You call the things that be not as though they were. It's a little difference there. And if you meditate in that, man, I hope God gave you the revelation. I ain't go around saying I ain't sick. I don't go around saying, man, you know, I ain't got no problem. I don't go around saying that, and I don't go around saying the problem. I go around saying, man, what God said about the problem. What that boy, I call out about Shanda, about Shanda. Somebody say, what do you say? I say, I have abundance and no lack. Hallelujah. I say, I'm saved by his grace. I say, I'm healed by his stripes. I say, man, you know who the Son says free is free indeed. I'm delivered. I say, my God supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, even if I ain't got a quarter in the bank. Hallelujah. I don't let that deter me and get me off, man, you know, the law of the kingdom, the law of sowing and reaping. Why? Because I know something. Well, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. So when you go around calling things that be not as though they were, some people think you're crazy. Some people even think you're arrogant, you know. But that ain't got nothing to do with what people think. My main concern is, boy, what God thinks about me, you know, and what God say about me and how God feel about me and what God is doing in me. Not what I'm doing in and for him. That's a good thing, but I'm talking about a greater thing. What's that? What God is doing in me. Not what I'm doing for him, but what God is doing for me. Hallelujah. And boy, when I got the revelation of death and realized death, man, I did like what the scripture say, man. I cease from my works. That don't mean I don't work. I just cease from my works. And I entered into his work. And boy, that was a tremendous blessing to me, because know what I realized when I entered into his work and ceased from my works? That his work is a completed work. Hallelujah. He's finished. The Bible says on the seventh day he rested from all his works. So when I enter into that work, and I rest from all my works too, and I just, man, entered into a completed work, man. And like I said earlier, and I just start becoming what I already am. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about kingdom life. I'm talking about, man, not religious living, not Christian living. You know, thank God for all of that. That's a means to an end. But I'm talking about kingdom living. Hallelujah. Not living as a member of a church or an organization, everything else. That's good in this place. But I'm talking about living as a citizen of the kingdom. Glory to God. My citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. Say again. I say my citizenship is in heaven, and so is yours. And as you grow in the knowledge of that, because Paul also says something in Ephesians chapter 1 later on down that verse, he said, listen, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose? So that you can know what is the hope of your calling and exceeding greatness, man, of the power that's been made available to every last one of us. What power? The same resurrection power, man, that God used when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How much power you think it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Most High God? All power. And guess what, boy? That same power is residing on the inside of every last one of us who have been born again. My brother, you know, Apostle Ellison was on this broadcast last week for me, and boy, he was talking about, boy, that resurrection power that's on the inside of us. What resurrection power? Holy Ghost power. Power, man, I'm talking about, man, to to cast out devils, power men to bring healing to the sick, salvation to the lost, deliverance to the captive, man, and provision, man, for all God's people, man, and to raise people from the dead. I ain't just talking about physical death, but those who are dead in trespasses and sin, those who are spiritually sick, those who are spiritually captive, man, those who are spiritually dead, man. I'm talking about, boy, resurrection power on the inside of every last one of us. What power are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. That power. And listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this. If the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, then it shall also make alive your mortal bodies. Well, that probably give us power even over mankind greater than it was. Death, physical death. It's appointed unto man once to die because of the rebellion of Adam. But boy, after death come the resurrection. What do you mean? That means death ain't got no more power over you. Even though we die physically, yet shall we live. Why? Because of that resurrection power that's on the inside of you. What power is that, boy? Holy Ghost power. Glory to God. And when we begin coming to the kingdom, we begin to operate under that power instead of our own power and our own anointing, but operate up under that power and that anointing, and we can fulfill that scripture, man, that Jesus said to us, man, that as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so shall you. And as the Father sent me, then so is the same way I'm sending you. What the Father sent him to do? Man, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth and to destroy the works of the devil. That's what the Father sent him for. Luke chapter 4, man, somewhere around verse 42, 43, said this. Jesus said, listen, I got to go to other towns. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom to other cities as well. Why? Because that's why I was sent. To do what? I got to come preach, man, not just the kingdom of God. I got to preach the gospel of this kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What's the gospel of it? That's your inheritance. What's the good news about this kingdom that he preached? That belongs to you. And, man, you lost it in Adam. And I came in to get it back for you and to restore it back to you. What? The Garden of Eden. The presence of the Lord. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That Adam was walking in, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, man, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What they were doing? They was in the literal presence of the Lord. They were in a spot on the earth, man, that God called the Garden of Eden, which was a carbon copy of heaven. Same atmosphere, same environment, same thing as it was in heaven. That's how it was in that little Garden of Eden on earth. Same Holy Ghost, man, that dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ was on the inside of Adam and Eve. Hey, listen, here's food for thought. How do you think Adam and Eve were living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What kind of relationship they had with God, man, before they was deceived and ate off the tree of and rebelled against God's will? God told them, don't eat off the tree. They ate off it. But how do you know? We know what life is like after they did that. It's like the way we have it here in this world system that we live in here, this kingdom of darkness, that the devil is the God of this world system, little g God. But how you think Adam and Eve were living, man, before they ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil? I say it again. They were living in heaven on earth. That's what the Garden of Eden represents, heaven on earth, on a spot on the earth for a moment with an open door into a delightful place, the literal presence of the Lord, filled with all of the attributes and character and nature of God in the person of the Holy Ghost. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, becoming who God created them to become and doing what God created them to do. What was that? Make the whole earth a Garden of Eden. For what purpose? So that the whole earth could be filled with the glory of God. So it could be on, so it could be the answer to the prayer that we've been praying all our life. What? Father, let your kingdom come back in our lives. Why? Because when your kingdom comes, then your original will can be done in our lives here on earth. What your original will is, that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That earth be a colony of heaven. That the same thing that's going on in heaven may be going on in the territory that you gave us, the earth. Listen, that's always been God's purpose. And his strategy for accomplishing that was to fill you and I with all of himself, all of his attributes, his characteristics, his character, his nature, his functioning ability, to be just like him. That's why Jesus Christ was so successful on the earth in everything, boy, that he put his hand to do. Why? Because he said, boy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do all the things that you see me do. What? To heal the broken heart, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the restoration of God's kingdom back to the earth to you. To set the captive free, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are bound, and to proclaim to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. What that? That's the year of Jubilee. What's that year of Jubilee represent? All, every 49 year, boy, I'm talking about all debts that the people owed, man, was canceled. If you had, man, I'm talking about if you had bills and your credit score, man, was 300, boy, I'm talking about it was restored back to the 850. All your debts paid in full. If you lost anything, man, you know, during that 49 years, if you lost your property, if you lost whatever it is that you lost, everything restored back to you. And everybody that was in prison, everybody that was in captivity, everybody that was bound by men, you know, the works of the devil, all prison doors open and the captives set free. And Jesus Christ come, man, proclaiming that to every last one of us, that this is your year of Jubilee. All your sins paid in full, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Everything that you lost in Adam's disobedience, your sovereignty, your dominion, your royal power, your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the Holy Ghost, all that, boy, I'm talking about, restored back to you. And everything that the devil had us bound up to and in bondage to and under the bigly elements of this world system, set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For what purpose? So that you can get back on course to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for your life that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when Adam and Eve were walking in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden in that secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty, becoming, boy, who God created them to become. Know who God created us to become? Our Bible say, man, in the book of Revelation, that in chapter 1, verse 5, and in chapter 5, verse 10, in chapter 1, it says we are kings and priests in that order. Not just man's spiritual representative, that's priesthood, but kings, that's your sovereignty, that's your dominion, that's your authority. And man, you know, since the fall, we've been living only in our priesthood, when all the time, man, you was a king first, you was a ruler first. You had dominion and authority and power and control and influence over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all the plants, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. You were made ruler over our territory. Just like God is the king of his territory, then you the king of your territory. What's God's territory, heaven? What's our territory, the earth? The Bible says the heavens and the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to you and I. For what purpose? So that, man, we could have dominion over this earth. Glory to God. For what purpose? So that we can make it on this earth just like it is in heaven. That's your original assignment. That's your original purpose. That's your original reason why God created you and brought you down here to the earth. Listen, this body that you live in, it come from the earth, but you ain't come from the earth. You came from heaven. You came from God. Our Father, which art well in heaven. So when God created you, he spoke to himself. And from himself came a little G-go. Good God of mine. Or from himself came a little offspring of God. You sprung off from God. You're the offspring of God. That's what makes you a son. You know, some of us are in male bodies. Some of us are in female bodies. But we're all sons of God. Why? Because we're all offspring. We all come from God. And listen, with the same character, with the same nature, with the same characteristics, with the same functioning principles as God. That's why he say, be ye holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. It didn't say dress holy. It say, be who you are. I told you, boy, he created us holy, man, before the foundation of the world. You were created in perfection. And through Adam's disobedience, man, we lost that. But boy, let me tell you something, man. John 10:10 say, boy, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. What? That who you really are. The knowledge of where you really come from. The knowledge of who you really are. The knowledge of, man, what your true purpose is. The knowledge of what your true potential is. Let me tell you something. We can do all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ Jesus our Lord. We really can, man, win the lost to the kingdom of God. We really can cast out devils and lay hands on the sick. We really can do all those things that God say we can do. We really are who God say we are. We really do have everything that God say we have. We really, man, are going to end up in heaven. But watch this here. Not the heaven where God, where we come from, but the heaven that God set up on the earth. When it's all said and done and the consummation of this thing is finished, it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. See, most believers have the wrong concept because they don't understand God's precept. What's precept? His original idea, his original intent, his original purpose. And if you don't understand his precepts, then, man, you can come up with the wrong concept. What you talking about, Arthur? Because most believers believe, man, and doing their best trying to make it in and thinking that they're going to go and live in heaven, man, forever and ever and ever. Listen, that's not your final destination. You're going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever. But it ain't going to be, man, in the heaven and God territory. You're going to be in heaven on earth. We read it all the time in Revelation chapter 21. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a new atmosphere and a new earth. This earth right now is cursed. It's corrupted because of Adam's disobedience. But, boy, it's going to be a new earth. There ain't got no corruption in it, man. And that body, man, where they say, man, that God's going to give us another body, they're going to come from an incorruptible earth. And they're going to live forever and ever and ever. And, boy, the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. And, behold, I saw, boy, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's all of us who have gone up to heaven in the presence of the Lord, man, are waiting for God to finish everything and the consummation of everything. And when it's all said and done, the Bible says in chapter 20 and 19, it says the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, all his demon cohorts, is cast into the lake of fire, man. Good God Almighty, what? No more devil to contend with. No more death to contend with. No more problem to contend with. And, boy, the whole glory of God, boy, is filled in this new earth, man. And, behold, boy, I saw all of us who had died and gone on up to heaven coming back, hallelujah, to a new earth, hallelujah, that's filled with the glory of God. A new earth that's the colony of heaven. A new earth that, boy, is upon this new earth is just like it is in heaven. And, boy, we coming back, and we're going to dwell on the earth forever and ever and ever. And God say, behold, the dwelling place of God, what? The dwelling place of God is with the sons of man. What do you mean the dwelling place of God? Just like it was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when God was here on the earth with Adam and Eve, walking and talking with them in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, and they filled with the Holy Ghost, man. I'm talking about, boy, when it's all said and done, that's how it's going to be. They're going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And you and I are not going to be just a royal priesthood, but we're going to be like that. Let me say it better. We're not just going to be a priesthood, a spiritual representative, but we're going to be a royal priesthood. What's the difference, man, than a priesthood and a royal priesthood? A priesthood is just spiritual representative, but a royal priesthood, that's kings and priests. So you lost your kingship in Adam's disobedience. We lost our sovereignty and our dominion and our raw power. To what? To dominate this earth, to make it on earth like it is in heaven. Not to make religion. Not to win souls, man, you know, to go to heaven, man, try to make it into heaven, but to win souls, man, to rule and reign on the earth. To win souls, man, to the kingdom of God, so that God can establish his governing influence of his territory called heaven to the territory that you and I live in here on the earth. It's God's will and always been his will. His original intent and purpose and plan was that earth be a colony of heaven. That it be on earth as it is in heaven. And that you rule and reign, man, on earth just like he was ruling and reign in heaven what you're trying to get to. Listen, don't misunderstand me. I ain't say we ain't going to go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. All you got to do to go to heaven is to die physically. To be absent from the body, what? Is to be present with the Lord. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. So if you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be in heaven. So when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But that ain't your final destination. When it's all said and done, I told you, it's going to be a new atmosphere and a new environment and a new earth. And we coming down. We coming back. To what? To a man, heaven on earth. And we're going to rule and reign forever. And the dwelling place of God is going to be with us. In other words, God going to finish what he started in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He was with Adam and Eve, man, in that garden. The Holy Ghost was in them in that garden. They had sovereignty, dominion, raw power, right standing with God, peace that passes all understanding, and the joy of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. Can you imagine, man, living that kind of life? We lost that in Adam, and boy, what God's love and God's grace and God's mercy through his son, Jesus Christ, came, and boy, he got that thing back from the devil, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil, and boy, restored it back to you and I. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Boy, that you have been restored back to your original place in God that was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I ask this question to you again. How do you think Adam, can you imagine how Adam and Eve were living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, living in the Garden of Eden, the presence of the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, ruling and reigning over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the plants, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth, becoming who God created them to become, what, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Representing man, heaven on earth. The devil came in Genesis chapter 3 and stole that from us. What John 10:10 say? The thief come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But God made known to us. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life, not just life, not just religious life, not just a good life, but life and that more abundantly. What's abundant life? Superior in quality and superior in quantity. To restore us back to the life that Adam and Eve were living before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Religion, man, how you trying to get it, trying to earn it, going after it, searching for it. But boy, when you have found what you're searching for, you don't search no more. You start living in the reality of it. Religion is the, is man's search for God's best and God's greatest for their life. The gospel of the kingdom is, man, you know, God's best and God's greatest for your life restored back to you. What's God's best and God's greatest for our life? The way he started us off, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In his presence, filled with the Holy Ghost, with sovereignty and dominion over all the works of his hands here on this earth. I told you, boy, the devil caused us to lose that in Adam. But Jesus Christ, boy, God has caused us to regain that, it to be restored back to us. Through one man, disobedient man, sin and death came upon the whole human race. But through another man's obedience, everything that we lost in Adam, I told you, been restored back to us. That's the year of Jubilee. All your debt paid in full. All your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything that you lost, what we lost, our sovereignty, our dominion, our raw power, our kingship. Listen, Adam and Eve still had a relationship with God after they failed. But they lost their kingship. They lost the kingdom that God gave them authority over on the earth. They lost that. So they were no longer operating as a king and a priest. They were only operating as in a priestly garment. So they started putting together all these sacrifices and all these rituals and everything else just to maintain, man, a relationship with God. But they lost their throne. They still had their turban on. They still had their priestly garment on. But, boy, they lost their crown. They lost their kingship. But because of what God had done for us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, who can open up this book and tell us what's really going on? Everybody got different opinions, but who can open up the book? They say, ain't nobody really. And then, boy, they begin to weep. And then the Bible say, boy, one say, hold up, baby, they got one who can tell us, man, what's really going on. Who? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He can open up the scrolls, loose the seals, and open up his word, man, and tell us what's really going on. And the Bible says, and because of what he has done for us, we have been made unto our God, king and priest. And here's the best part about it. And we shall reign on the earth forever and ever and ever. No, they say we're going to reign in heaven. No, the Bible says we're going to reign on the earth forever and ever and ever and ever. Brother Arthur, what you talking about, man? I listen, I ain't got but one assignment. Every time I come on this radio, every time I stand up to minister to God's people, man, I ain't got but one message, man. Many aspects of it, but I don't have but one message. What's that message? Repent. When I say repent, I don't mean go down to the altar and say, Father, forgive me all my sins. I'm sorry, Lord, cleanse me and everything else. No, that's remorse. Jesus didn't say, man, be remorseful. He said, repent. What you mean, repent? Change your whole way of thinking. Your whole philosophy, everything that you've been trained, born, and conditioned to think like, man, be willing to change all of that. Why? Because I come to bring to you a new governing system. I come to bring to you a new way of thinking. I come to bring to you a new world. I come to bring to you back to you, boy, the kingdom of heaven. But in order to live in this kingdom of heaven, you got to change your whole way of thinking. Instead of thinking, man, I'm trying to get to heaven, you got to start thinking, man, I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. In fact, I'm already in hell. Let me clarify something, man, you know, right quick, man. When I say, boy, let me tell you something, the kingdom of heaven has come, I'm not talking about so much as on the earth. When I say, boy, the kingdom of heaven is here, most people say, no, the kingdom of heaven is a future thing. Yes, there's a future kingdom, man, in Revelation chapter 21, where, man, I'm talking about the whole kingdom of God going to be over the whole earth. In the millennium, Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up, man, for 1,000 years, a physical kingdom up on the earth. But right now, when I say, boy, the kingdom of God is at your hand, is within you, I'm not talking about so much as a physical kingdom, even though that's included in it, but I'm talking about a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said it this way, the kingdom of heaven, man, is here. Where is it? It's not with observation. It ain't over there. It ain't over here. Where is it at? It's on the inside of you, in your spirit, in your mind, in your thinking, in your soul, in your emotions, in your attitude, in your way of talking, in your way of walking, in your way of living. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's in you. That's where it begins at. That's what I mean when I say, boy, the kingdom is here, because it's on the inside of every last one of us. When you see the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of you, that's all of the kingdom of heaven, man. Not on the earth, first, in the earth. Listen, before it can get on the earth, it got to first get in the earth. It got to first get on the inside of us, in our spirits first, then in our soul, then in our bodies. And when it's in our spirit, soul, and body, then it's going to be manifested on the earth. Then it can't be manifested on the earth until it gets manifested in the earth. So it begins within you. That's what I mean when I say the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, I come to bring unto you. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9, you know the scriptures. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. In the increase of his governing system of heaven, as we grow in the knowledge of that, increase in the knowledge of that, what? Of who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, the true potential, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up at. As the increase of that governing system in our life, as we grow in the knowledge of God's will for our life, being filled with the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, good God Almighty, then, boy, it's establishing the everlasting kingdom of God on the earth. And this kingdom shall be forever upon the earth. The Bible also said in another place, all the kingdoms of the world has become one with the kingdom of our God. Good God of mine. What are you saying, brother? I say, can't nothing stop me and what God is doing. The devil might can stop me and what religion is doing and what church is doing and what governance system is doing and everything else, but he can't stop what God doing. No, Lord. That's why I found out, man, what God was doing. How you found out what God was doing? Well, one day, man, about 40 years ago, boy, I read a scripture that revolutionized my life. What? Matthew chapter 6, 33. What? Seek ye first. Not second, not third, not fourth. First. In other words, get your priorities in line, man. In your study of God's word and your study and your relationship with God, man, instead of seeking and reading the Bible for sermon and everything else, no, seek first the governing system of God, how God governs things, what God is doing. David said, when I saw dead boy, then, man, you know, I asked the Lord, Lord, teach me your precepts, your original idea, your original intent, your original plan, your original purpose for our lives here on earth. And Lord, do your precepts, then I gain good understanding. That's in your Bible in Psalms 119. That's why David was the greatest king of all the kings of Israel. Why? Because he didn't go after God's hands and his works and his miracles. He went after God's mind, God's heart, God's intent. And because he went after that, and David said, because of your precepts, and you reveal to me your precepts, what's in your heart and what's in your mind, then I have good understanding. And the concepts, the pictured ideas that I have of what you are doing, my concepts, then they are right. I don't picture myself, man, as trying to live right to get to heaven. I picture myself as living right because I'm already, man, insured for heaven as if I was already there. I don't see God, man, trying to get here. Hallelujah. I don't live right, man, so that I can make it to heaven. I live right, man, to the best of my ability because I'm already in heaven, and heaven is already in me. Hey, listen, God ain't got no problem, man, getting heaven to us. His issue is getting us into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is already on the inside of you, man, if you see the Holy Ghost. But what God is doing now that the kingdom of God is in you, now he's trying to get us into a kingdom citizenship mentality so that we can get in the kingdom. And when the kingdom is in us and we are in the kingdom, good God Almighty, can you imagine, man, how we start beginning to live then victorious life? Jesus said, hey, man, listen, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. What? Not only when you're in the kingdom, but when it, not only when the kingdom is in you, but when you are in the kingdom too. Most of God's children, man, are still in religion. Most of God's children, they saved, but they just wandering around in the wilderness. When all the time, there's a promised land. We just came across the Red Sea, man, out of bondage and saved by his grace and everything else. But that's not the destination, to live, man, in the wilderness. That was going on in God. Well, my pastor in Houston, man, told me that, man, over 25 years ago, she came to our church when we had our little ministry in Houston, Pastor Lydia Owen, man, and she said, listen, boy, she preached a message to us that revolutionized my life. She told us, boy, that there's a going on in God. Good God Almighty, what? Never be complacent with where you are, boy. You do just like what Paul said. You keep on pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus until you get to the final destination. What's the final destination? A stature of Christ. That's why God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. What? For the edifying of the body of Christ. For what? For the work of man, the ministry of the body of Christ. Everybody got a purpose. Everybody need to know, man, who they are and why they're here. Everybody need to know where they come from. Everybody need to know, man, where their final destination is. Everybody need to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until we become a fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ, until we become a stature of Christ. What's a stature? A fixed, predictable image of something. Until we become a fixed, predictable image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is a fixed, predictable image of the Father. Good God Almighty. I tell all my shanda to love both stick it in my shanda. Listen. That's why it's important, man, for the church, man, to rediscover the gospel of the kingdom. It's been hid in the graveyard of religion for perhaps the last 1,800 years. And we preach God's word, and we preach man Jesus Christ to the people and everything else. And through that, man, we got them saved, man, and everything else. But saved ain't the goal. Saved is the means to the goal. What's the goal? Get you back into the promised land. What's the promised land? God told Adam and Eve, man, say, I promise you something. I'm going to put you out of my presence. You're going to lose the Holy Spirit. You're going to lose your sovereignty and your dominion. But I promise you something, what? That one day, man, I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction, and I'm going to restore you back to this Garden of Eden where you had unbroken fellowship with me, the same way you were living before you ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to restore you back to this land. I'm going to restore you back to heaven on earth, glory to God. I'm going to restore you back to the Garden of Eden, man, and I'm going to give you back the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to restore your sovereignty and your dominion and your kingship and your royal power and your righteousness and your peace and your joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to restore that back to you. That's the original promised land. The promised land that was in Abraham, that's a type and a shadow of that which was to come. That was just a little physical piece of territory over there that they're still fighting about over there in the Middle East. But the original promised land of God, I'm going to restore you back, man, and give you sovereignty over the whole earth. Glory to God. So that you can complete, man, your purpose that I gave for you was to make earth a colony of hell. The devil then preoccupied us with good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. Most believers and most preachers and teachers, and don't misunderstand, this ain't evil, this ain't bad, it's just a means to an end. That's their assignment and that's their purpose for that season, but there's a going on in God. Let me tell you something, like I told you, salvation ain't the goal. The redemptive work of God ain't the goal. That's the means to the goal. The goal is, man, you know, to restore back to you, boy, the life that Adam and Eve were living, man, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that you can start living your life from there. So you can start back ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that might confront your life here on earth. That you can take the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word and begin to sow that into your circumstance, situation, and symptom. And don't get weary if you don't see instant results, because there's a process. Because there's a going on in God. You got to plant the seed of God's word. You got to water the seed of God's word. You got to cultivate the seed of God's word. And in due season, we're going to reap if you don't faint, if you don't cave in, if you don't give up, if you don't quit. God told Joshua, say, hey, listen, Joshua. I called Moses to get him out of Egypt. I called Moses to get him saved. Just like I sent Jesus Christ to get him saved. But then, man, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to lead them into why they saved. What? So that they can, man, get their sovereignty and their dominion back. So they can come back into the promised land, what? The Garden of Eden, heaven on earth. So they can start living their life from that place and making the whole earth a colony of heaven. Not making the earth a religion where people are trying to get to heaven. That's the wrong concept. Why? Because, man, God, people, man, have lost his precepts. That's why in our generation, man, we're rediscovering, man, this gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom, man? That's what Jesus Christ preached. In fact, that's all he preached. If we're not careful, man, we get preoccupied with a good thing. We'll preach Jesus Christ to the people. And that's a good thing. Why? Because that'll get you out of Egypt. But that won't get you into your inheritance. If you want to get into your inheritance, we not only got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the gospel of the redemptive work of God. And most preachers read the Bible in the light of our redemption, when we should be reading the Bible in the light of what our redemption has restored back to us. I'm going to say that again. It's a good thing to read the Bible in the light of our redemption, to know where we've been redeemed from. We've been redeemed for the curse of the law. But that's a purpose for the redemptive work. And that's to restore back to us everything that we lost. You lost our sovereignty, our dominion, the presence of the Lord, our righteousness, our peace that passes all understanding that the world can't give and the world can't take away. You lost, man, your kingship. You lost your crown, not your priesthood. You lost your sovereignty, your dominion to rule in life, to reign in life. The devil stole that from us in Genesis chapter 3. But boy, Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin, tempted on all points, just like Adam was. But instead of rebelling against the will of God, boy, he even suffered man death for you and I. So that, boy, I'm talking about the same spirit, like I said earlier, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive you too. Even this mortal body, is buried a mortal body, it's going to be raised an immortal body. It's buried in corruption, it shall be raised in incorruption. It's buried in death, man, but it's raised in life, everlasting life. What are you talking about, Arthur? I ain't talking about what our church is doing and what we're doing. I'm talking about what God is doing. That's what the kingdom of God is. Hallelujah. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what God is doing. What's the kingdom of God again, Brother Arthur? That's what God is doing. And his way of doing what he's doing. And when we get, and that's why Jesus says, seek first that, what God is doing. What, not what you're doing and what your denomination is doing and what your church is doing and what our pastors are doing, all of the good things and everything else, but make sure, man, we seek first what God is doing, and we as pastors and leaders and apostles and prophets and bishops and everything else get in on that, man. And when we get in on that, then we can begin to start experiencing, man, heaven on earth. Hallelujah. And when it's all said and done, that going on in God, we'll get to the place, man, where it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. We haven't arrived yet, but Paul say, one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I keep on pressing on to the prize of that high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Good God Almighty, what? Becoming who we already are. What? Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Super men and super women of the Most High God. Do you know you are a superman? Did you know that you are a superwoman? Did you know that just like Clark Kent, man, you come from another place, another planet? What? To solve a problem, man, on this earth with supernatural power, with resurrection power on the inside of you, with Holy Ghost power on the inside of you, able to leap a tall building with a single bound, able to look through, man, you know, walls and look through the works of the devil, man, and see that your enemy not flesh and blood, but who your enemy really is, man, to see that you got more power than all the power of the enemy, to see that you not only redeemed from the curse of the law, but you are restored back to your original place in God, to see that you're not supposed to be living your life trying to get saved. Listen, most of us, man, or most of the people, man, trying to get what we already have instead of having was already out. Good God Almighty. I got to say that again. Man, we as believers trying to get what we already have. But we should be just having what's already out. That's why I say, like my pastor taught me way back, Pastor Liz, there's a going on in God. Hallelujah. You got to get past this religious rituals and ceremonies and practices and everything else that we're doing in the church that's holding us back from our sovereignty and our dominion and our raw power. And we got to keep going on in God. It's all right to start there because God, at one point, that's where God started at. He was dealing with man who were dead in trespass and sin. And when he was dealing with man in times past, because they were separated from God and dead in trespass and sin, then that was God's permissive will. That's what he had to permit to take place, man, because man was lost. Man was spiritually dead. Man was separated from God. So God didn't stop dealing with them, man, because they were spiritually dead. God kept on dealing with them. Well, in realms, man, that they couldn't understand spiritual things because they were spiritually dead. So he had to deal with them, man, according to the natural man and their five sense reasoning. Until, boy, he could get back, man, to the fullness of time, that way he can get man back to his not permissive will, but his perfect will for all our lives. What's his perfect will? That, boy, we start operating under the governing system of God, under the governing influence of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And if we start, man, fulfilling our purpose and destiny, what? Making it on earth as it is in heaven. Not trying to fly away, man. Quit trying to fly away, man. Well, I'll fly away, oh, Savior. No, don't fly away, man. Occupy. Jesus said, man, occupy till I come. Don't try to fly away. Don't try to climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Man, let me tell you something. All that sounds good and everything else. Jesus didn't say climb up on the rough side of the mountain. He said speak to the mountain. Glory to God. And if you don't doubt in your heart but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. If you're saying climbing up on the rough side of the mountain, trying my best. See, listen, that sounds pious and religious and everything else. But Jesus didn't tell us that, climb on no mountain, trying to make it in. He said, speak to the mountain. Why? Because you done already made it in if you have accepted, man, what I've done for you. And you have accepted me into your life and into your heart and into your mind and your emotions and your attitude. Then you done already made it in. Quit trying to make it in and start, man, living in what the reality. What reality? That you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that you've been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. For what? So that you could, man, have restored back to you everything that you lost, so that you can start living your life, man, from the secret place of the Most High God. Dwelling there, abiding there, and thereby, man, coming to the place where we start living victorious lives. Listen, we're not the victims. We're the victors. And here's the good news that I close. Hey, listen, you ain't got to try to, man, fight this battle, man, from an aspect of trying to win it. You fight this battle as from the point, man, that the battle has already been won. And your responsibility is not to fight to win. Your responsibility in your fight is to enforce the victory that you already have. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. What's our job in operating, man, as soldiers in the kingdom of God? To enforce a victory. Not trying to win the victory, not trying to win the battle, enforce the victory that we already have in Christ Jesus. Enforce the victory. Listen, when a war going on and the country won the war, they don't take all the soldiers out of there. They take majority of the soldiers and send them back home, but they leave some soldiers over there. Why? Because you're going to have some rebellious men ain't going to try to man to rebel against their loss. But boy, we got the victory in Jesus Christ, but the devil ain't going to cave in and give up and quit. But why God still leave us in the earth? Not to try to get the victory, but to enforce the victory that's already been won. So that men, people in the citizen, men in that country, man, can start living victorious lives, freedom lives. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, for it endures forever, my Father God, and for filling us up in these last days and time, Lord, filling us with the knowledge of your will for our lives. Hallelujah. With all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we are coming to the knowledge of the hope of our calling and what's the exceeding greatness of the power that has been made available to us through the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, through the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I decree and declare that every need that's represented out there in radio land, every prayer and petition, Father God, every sickness and disease, Lord God, we already redeemed from all the curse of the law. We already healed. We already provided for. We already delivered. This is our year of Jubilee. Every prayer request that's represented out there in radio land, I decree and declare that the answer is yes and amen. Father, you said you would answer us even before we called, my Father God. Therefore, we thank you, Lord God, for your healing virtue that's flowing through this radio broadcast, bringing healing, Father, as seen wise unto you, to everyone under the sound of my voice. I decree and declare that by the stripes of Jesus, we heal. I decree and declare that our God has saved us from everything that we need saving from. I decree and declare that every need in your life is already met. I decree and declare that everything that the devil had you chained up to and bound up to, you are free indeed. For what purpose? So that you could get back on God's course for your life, living life and that more abundantly. Therefore, I decree and declare that you grow in the knowledge that everything is all right and that you begin to think that way. You begin to talk that way. You begin to walk that way. And you begin to live that way in the name of Jesus. Knowing this, that every prayer that you have out there, I decree and declare that the answer is yes, amen. Every prayer that pertains to life and godliness, the answer is yes and amen. Listen, I love you. God bless you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Arthur LaVell and Gail LaVell, Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry, Uncle Louisiana. Talk to you next week.
Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life.